here we are with another girl show.
My hair coming out of the shower.
And we're joined by special guest Joe Doyle, who's kindly come straight from training, jumped in the shower and jumped onto the podcast. Thanks so much, Joe.
Thank you for having me, mate. It's great to speak to you all.
It's lovely to speak to you. We'll give you a proper intro in a minute, but we'll just introduce my fellow co-host, Kerry Stella, all the way from New York.
Thank you for having me, ladies.
And the wonderful Becky Davis, all the way from Wales.
Here I am, Bet.
Well, Joe, I've wanted to have you on the show for ages and ages. Like, there's so many things that I want to talk to you about. I want to talk to you about your own career, your own time competing in the IMAF tournaments, what you're now doing as a coach. I know that you're looking for sponsors for that, so I want to talk about that again. But
yeah, definitely.
Can you just start by telling everyone how you got into the sport?
So basically, I met my husband when he was fighting. So I worked with someone who was a fighter, didn't know anything about the sport. And he was like, oh, I'm fighting soon, do you want to buy a ticket? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll come and watch. And then met my husband there, who was his teammate. Yeah, he went from there. So I started, obviously, dating my husband and going to watch him fight.
How old were you then? Met,
like, teams and stuff. So, yeah, and just got involved with the team that way.
How old were you when you first met him?
I was 22, so it was nearly 10 years ago. So wow. For 5 years, I was, watching, didn't get on the mat, which now I regret so much because I think my career would have jumped. I always think, though, if I'd have gotten the mat then, would have been the opportunities and things like that. So, I mean, it's all about timing. So, yeah, so for 5 years, I was supporting him and the team and travelling around with the team, just being, like, maybe one or two of us shouting for our team in the crowds and stuff. And then our head coach, Mark Spencer, decided to do a women's course. So it was great then. We had loads of women on the mat and a few of them stuck around. So it was an opportunity then to have training partners. So, yeah, that's how I got involved.
So do you think if he hadn't put on the women's only course, you'd ever have given it a go?
I think I would eventually, because I was always interested in mine, the grappling. So I think I maybe would have done the gi first, but I think this was a good opportunity to jump straight in and do everything. So as much as I preferred all the grappling side, I did jump in with the striking. I just didn't take to it as well as the grappling.
And what's it like having two fighters in the household?
It's not too bad. It can be tough when one's cutting weight. That's definitely a tough point. I'm quite lucky now. Like, James is mainly coaching at the minute. A few injuries for him, so that he's not competing as much. But yeah, when one of us is weight cutting, that can be a bit tense. I think it's we've definitely learned to get that balance right for athlete coach, because I think it can be really tough. It's stressful, especially for him sometimes. You know, when it's a tough session or I've been beat up in a round, and, you know, husband side of him wants to say, come on, love, we'll go home, you know, it's like, you know, put his arm around me and that's it. And then there's a coach side of him who's like, get up and, you know, do what you can do kind of thing. So it must be tough for him to kind of be around and watch me fight and stuff. But we've got a good balance now.
Yeah. And what's it like having two coaches in the family?
Oh, yeah, that can be chaotic, but easy. For me, I'm still learning. I've thrown myself into everything to do with the sport, because I think you've just got to go a little bit all in. You know, women's MMA is still growing, and I'm very passionate about it. I'm really passionate about when I finish that there is going to be a line of fighters and especially amateurs. You know, that's why I've stuck at amateur for so long. That's why I'm trying to build the amateur team while I'm still an active fighter, is because I've got a passion for the sport, and I'm 32 now, so I know that I'm not going to be doing this forever. So I want there to be a line of girls behind me to represent the UK after I've stopped competing.
I think that's brilliant. And actually, weirdly enough, our last guest that we interviewed on the girls show was one of the girls that's fighting for your bantamweight
title. I haven't actually vacated it. Their fight is for the interim belt. So basically, I got offered to fight in October, but I'm in LA. So I said, look, I can't fight in October, but I'll fight on your next show. And then I see it was announced, but it's actually been announced as an interim. So okay. Technically, I've not given it up yet. So if they wanted to, if whoever wins that fight and they want me to fight to kind of unify it, I don't know. I'm happy to do that. So I've still got my belt as it stands. Okay. So I don't know. It says on the post interim, so I'm guessing that's what's happening. I don't know.
I think I've got myself mixed up. I thought that you were turning pro, Joe.
Yeah, so when I last spoke to you, I mentioned about pro, and it's still something that I am thinking about. I've always been, if you win a belt, I always think you should defend it. And I kind of went into that interview a little bit, like, giddy and excited, and everyone were like, so you're going pro? And I'm like, I think so, I've just said it. And it was kind of probably a bit of a heat at the moment, but I am willing to defend my belt because, you know, I'm not just going to win something and say I'm the champ and then not defend it. It is an option as well. My only sticking point with going pro is I work full time for the police, and it is, you know, I've done 13 fights working shifts, and it is hard. You know, that's the hardest thing I have to overcome in fight camp. And it's something that I would need to change if I was going to go pro. For me, it's all about leveling up. And I would need to be working something a little bit different, or not working shifts, or really change my work, like training balance. So
yeah.
It just depends on that as well, which is obviously, you know, my job pays my bills and pays for my training and traveling and stuff like that. So it's something that, you know, I need to think about as well.
What a story though, Becky. What do you think of the firefighter going up against the police officer to unify the belt?
That would be a tough one, that, I think. That'll be a classic, definitely. I don't think that's ever happened before. I don't think that's probably even happened in the men's fights, actually. So that would be a first for any fight, I think. Yeah, it'd be a good one, that, you know, with the pair of them fighting each other. Definitely.
They're both great girls. They're both great fighters. And I think as well, her being a firefighter, she'll have come across things that, you know, fighting in a cage is not that scary once you've dealt with other issues in real life, where your actual life and you haven't got a referee to jump in there for you. So, you know, it would be a great fight. You know, I'm still open. Like, I am a big advocate on, like, saying, you know, girls don't have to turn pro after five fights. There is girls out there. You've just got to be willing to look or travel or put yourself out there a little bit more. You know, we don't need to go pro so quickly anymore. Because I think they always say, like, a girl's five fights is a men's, like, had 10 fights because of the smaller talent pool. But that's what I want to push for. If I have my 14th amateur fight, it doesn't bother me. I'm not in it for the money. That I think I've shown that I'm not in it to go pro quickly and earn money off of it. I'm not. So, you know, I would be happy to stick about and fight for the, you know, defend my belt as well.
It depends on the fighter as well, doesn't it? You know, it depends how far they think they've come and whether they're comfortable going pro, you know? You can have as many amateur fighters you want. There's no law to say you have to have a certain amount of amateur fights to turn pro. It depends on the fighter themselves. So, you know, you've just got to do what you've got to do, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I think girls are going pro a bit quicker just because they think that it's not out there.
Yeah.
Just, you know, like, I bet every female fighter guest that you have on who's amateur have come across so many pullouts and no-shows and things like that. And I think that's why people are going pro, maybe. Not saying there's a number on it, but just because they think that that's the best way to get fights, which for some people it is. And for some people, you know, they might be doing it for cash as well, you know, to help. And that there's no problem with that as well. It's just, for me, I want to do as much as I can amateur before I go pro to feel 100% ready.
And am I right in saying you've competed in three IMAF tournaments yourself?
I was going to say
another reason I thought you were going pro is I would have thought you'd be competing again this time, but obviously you're coaching the women's team. You're not competing this time, are you?
No, still coaching. I kind of gave up my spot on the team to develop it because, you know, I just think it's important to do that. You know, I'm paying the same amount as a fighter, so it does seem silly to some people that I'm doing that, but I'm happy to do that because I think it'll be, it's good for the girls. And obviously, since I've got involved, you know, the numbers have jumped up massively. So.
And how difficult is it to watch from the sidelines? And do you get more nervous as a coach than you would as a fighter? A lot of people tell me cornering is more nerve-wracking for them than being in there themselves.
Yeah, definitely. I find it really, really... Because I try and pride myself on... I'm not just taking the girls so that we've got numbers. I'm trying to build a rapport with these girls, build friendships, and also, you know, in the future, training partners. You know, it's good for me as well to have these girls to train with and learn from them. But yeah, definitely cornering is so much more nerve-wracking, especially when you get into the medal stages, because I'm so desperately want to... For them to do well, I'm like, oh, I don't want to make a bad call or something like that, you know, so I'm really nervous, you know, for them. And I just want them to get the medal so that they can develop their own career as well.
Kerry, what do you think of the IMF tournaments?
Oh, you know, I'm a big fan of that. I think it's huge. I think it's huge character development, too, for fighters. And, you know, if you want to go pro and being able to compete at that kind of level, not knowing your opponent, having to be ready at any time to fight anybody, I think that's huge. So I kind of, you know, I feel like that's really big for young fighters coming up. I think it's important. You know, you can't get enough experience. And in front of crowds like that and tournament style, they don't really have that anymore. So it's a good way to see what you're made of.
Yeah. Well, especially for the people who are struggling to get fights. They know they can turn up there and get like a few in a week. And I think as well, it must be character building, even just trying to make weight several times in 1 week. That's got to be a battle in itself.
Yeah, definitely. I know a lot of the girls that go up a weight class, you know, so they're a lot more comfortable. I mean, I fought at featherweight and then I fought at bantamweight, which I've made weight every day quite comfortably. But, you know, a lot of the girls do then, if they're on domestic shows, they will cut down to the lower weight class, which I think is the right thing to do, because IMAF definitely promote not properly weight cutting, as in water loading and things like that. So they are really promoting that they don't want athletes to do that and to go up a weight class. But yeah, just being in the same hotel as your opponent, you know, passing every day at the dinners and stuff like that, it's a test, but it becomes like a big family, even though you know your opponent is. It's just what you're there to do. You're there to fight, and they just get on with it. And it's, you know, everyone who's done it has always, you know, reported back that they've had a great time. And it's been other reasons why they might not have competed again.
And you've won a gold medal yourself there.
Yeah, I won my gold medal on my first showing. So it was actually my third and fourth fight. So I was really quite inexperienced back then. I couldn't get matched in the UK. I just had a pullout, I think, the week before the trials. And I just thought, well, let's give it a go. I've had two fights. You know, I think the criteria was three, but they were a bit more lenient with the females. So... yeah, went to the trials and then got picked. So, yeah, I won the gold on my first showing out there, which was, I was complete underdog. So it was a great experience. And I kind of threw my name out there then for the future tournaments.
And don't forget, fighting the best in the world when you go to the tournaments. Yeah. I mean, I've worked two of them, one wrapping hands and one as a commissioner when it first started in 2015, I think it was, something like that. And whenever I am wrapping any, I wrap amateurs more than pros these days, but whenever I do wrap amateurs' hands, male and female, I always mention the IMAF to them, and some of them don't even know what it is. So I always like tell them about it, and I say it's going to be the best learning experience for amateur fighters, male and female. Because you've got everything in it. You're fighting the best amateurs in the world. You could be fighting days on the trot, you know, and it's quite it's lovely. I mean, the people who work for IMAP, they're amazing. They make everyone feel comfortable. And I hope us cut people make them feel comfortable as well.
Oh, definitely. The cut people have always been great, and it's nice to see people come back.
It's usually the same cut people every time as well. I'm planning on going to another IMAP, but as a cut woman, but I'm not sure which one yet. I've got other shows to do over here, so it's a bit. But yeah, I always encourage any amateur to apply for IMAP, especially now you've got the little junior squad going over there now as well, the little cadets, and that's brilliant. So
yeah, it's brilliant. I mean, it's great.
You can't get better
experience.
Yeah, especially for the youngsters, you know. And they come back, no matter whether they come back with no medal or with a gold, they all come back happy, you know, with the experience, you know, doing the experience. So, I always recommend IMAPS to everybody. Everyone walks the streets. I recommend it to everyone.
No, it's great.
And Joe, talk us through. We used to go as a kind of Team UK or Team GB, and now obviously there's split into the Welsh team and English team. Yeah. I don't believe Scotland have got their own team yet. Is that right?
No, they're still developing their team. So at the moment, there isn't a federation and a board, I believe. But yeah, Wales have gone separate under Chris Rees. And then Northern Ireland was always separate anyway.
Yeah.
They've got a brilliant person leading it in Danny Carr. They've always been separate. So it seemed the right thing to do to split it off and not be under the UK banner, but be under the England banner, which is something that's quite recent. So it's still, you know, we're still settling with it because it's been a big change going from Rome straight into changing into the Team England. For then for the cadets and then obviously for the worlds as well. So yeah, it's good. And you know, we always support, like I've had Chris Rees corner me at an IMAFS, you know, and I've been down to train with his team, and he's a brilliant coach. So we always kind of stick closely with the other the UK teams. But yeah, it's good that they're getting recognition, and obviously Wales came away with a medal this last time, and you know, there's some brilliant talent, and it would be great for Scotland to get a team, because there's some amazing fighters up there, and I think it's getting the name out there, getting them the information that they need to set up the federation, so that then they can take a separate team as well.
Yeah. And it must mean more sports, like overall, there are available more opportunities.
Yeah, because there is only two spots per weight category, and obviously with some of the lads divisions, like the bantamweights, lightweights, welters, they are stacked divisions, and, you know, the trials have been, I think it was the last year for Bahrain, we had like 60 people turn up to the North Trials, so, you know, them spots were fought for, and I know with the cadets team, I think they actually had like, there were three lads who had to fight for a spot for one of them places as well. So it is going to be in the future where there's probably going to be tournaments to fight for your spot. It gets another fight on your record, and then you know, you feel like you go in there and like, I'm the number one seed in the UK, in the England or Wales or whatever. So it'd be really good for that to happen as well, to kind of develop people's records before they're even getting out there.
Mm-hmm.
And talk to us about the cost of it for the fighters and for you, the coaches.
Yeah. So it's similar cost for the coaches and the fighters. And it can seem quite costly. However, like with Bahrain, I have to say from my own experience, it was the second IMAF tournament I did. I got off the plane. I was met by IMAF officials who took me straight through to luggage, straight through security. And I felt like it was... Well, it is our Olympics, you know, until we are in the Olympics, that's what it felt like. You know, we were put on a coach and transport, you know, the cost does include like your hotel and two meals a day. And obviously you're fighting and you get all your kit to fighting, and it's a massive experience. So the cost is self-funded at the minute, until the sport's recognised with Sports England and stuff, the cost is self-funded. So you're looking at probably for flights and the entry in, so you're looking at like £1,500 per athlete and for coaches. So it's quite a big amount. However, the experience, I know that people, once they've done it, they are willing to do it again because of the experience they've had and the fights that they've had over there.
What would that be in English currency?
So it's £1,500 in dollars, so it'll be a bit more in dollars, yeah.
Okay.
I think it'd be, yeah, it'd probably about $1,700-$1,800.
Okay, just wondering, because I'm not so good with that. I'm like, wait,
I know, I'm trying to work it out.
What is it?
What's the exchange rate? Yeah, I think the entry fee is around $800 at the minute, and then obviously it just depends on flights and where you're willing to travel from and stops and things like that. But obviously, if you're cutting weight or you're dieting, let's say, you don't want to be stopping 3 or 4 times. You want to get the most direct flight as, you know, possible. Obviously, the Europeans, it's easier because we have more airlines that are going Rome or Prague and Romania, the places that they've been. So yeah, Bahrain, I suppose, is a little bit more expensive. But yeah, the experience for me was worth it when I did it, and I'm willing to pay it as a coach as well. And there's not just me, there's James as well, who's my assistant coach.
that's unbelievable.
So yeah, we've self-funded most of our trips anyway, and that's what I'm trying to help the girls with now. So yeah, trying to find sponsorship if we can. Well, just I think they've got, some of them have got their own sponsors, but if I can get a little bit of their fee covered, you know, then I'm doing my job as well. I'm not interested in getting my fee paid for. I'm willing to do, you know, to pay for me. That's why I'm still working full time. But for the girls, I know they're working two jobs and training, you know, training so much to get there. So hopefully, you know, if any businesses are out there and want to sponsor my female team, I'd be happily to get in touch, and we can cover it across all our social medias and things like that, and promote any brands out there.
And if anyone wants to comment under the interview when this is released, then we'll make sure we put you in touch with Jo, because want to make sure that all the girls that you select are able to go. It'd be such a shame if somebody couldn't go.
Well, that's it. I've lost. I'm losing girls as the weeks are going by. It's getting close to the cut-off date. I am losing girls from the team, and it's not about ability; it's about cost, and that's such a real shame. And they're putting their heart and soul into the training, and then might not be able to go because of the cost of it, which I understand. You know, that's what people sometimes may not like about the IMAF tournaments. But if you're training all year round and getting one fight, you're not developing your career either. Yeah. Whereas if you even just do one tournament, and like Melissa and Megan had 4 fights in Rome, both got to the finals, and we're now having the same amount of fights as the lads, and it's brilliant. You know, and they've got 4 fights on the record in a week, you know. So these girls should be, there should be people chomping at the bit to sponsor them, and they're just not getting the sponsorship that they need. And for whatever reason, I don't know what that is, but hopefully just getting a bit more awareness about the competition, we might get someone in touch.
The advice that I can give you to give them that's worked for me is going to people's businesses that, one, I know and have a personal relationship, and two, that I happen to spend a lot of time at. If I'm spending money in there and I'm promoting your business and going there all the time, I have no problem with going up to someone and being like, listen, got something going on, here's a sponsorship package. And that's really the way to do it, because at the end of the day, my friend posted something about, what was it, the Popeye's chicken thing sandwich that like went viral, and they made a ridiculous, like 23 point something billion dollars in a day on one sandwich. They didn't write, there was no commercials. It was all on social media. This was all from, so people would rather promote Popeye's chicken sandwich or whatever the hell it was than their friends is really sad.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, I think, you know, it's easy promotion even for the gyms and clubs. You know, you've got a fighter that's going out there not just representing Team England, they're representing your club,
gym. Yeah,
you know, and like that's easy promotion for your gym. You know, help the guys out, you know, do grapple-a-thons or something. You know, like it might be £100, but that £100 could pay for a medical, you know. So there's stuff that can be done, and it's just you know, just giving them a bit of knowledge of about who to target. Like I've said, local papers, local businesses, because a company down in London for a girl that's fighting out of Manchester, it doesn't make sense. Whereas, you know, there might be a local business that for them, that's not much money. You know, they might be turning over a lot more. And you know, these shows were on BT Sport, you know, and three of my girls got on the half an hour show, and Megan, Lexi and Melissa are all featured on it. That's brilliant. They were on BT Sport or Sky or whichever channel it was on. And that's surely good promotion if their brand's on their kit.
Oh, 100%.
And tell them to sell that. As much of what you, this is the big thing with sponsors, is you need to tell them what they're going to get out of it.
Yeah.
I know that sounds really weird because it's more of like what they're going to be doing for you, but it's not. They're going to get out of it seen, you know, on BT Sports. They're going to be seen by the people there, by fellow fighters. You could just go down the line of a general number idea. People like numbers.
Yeah. And
it's weird, but people in businesses, they just want to know what you're going to do for them. So you come to them, what they can, what they'll get out of it, you're going to get tons of sponsors. I'm telling you, it's weird, but it works.
Get Kerry on it.
I got you guys. That's like kind of my thing now. I'm like, I teach people how to do that all the time because just learning how to talk to someone and say, hey, you know, it's really, and it's not a lot of money. People think that like, you know, say like $500 US dollars would be like, maybe like what, $350 there. That's not a lot of money to a business.
No.
At all. Not even to a mom and pop. That doesn't touch their freaking rent. So at the end of the day, to be seen by that many people.
Okay. I need you on board.
I got you. I got you, girl. Just message me.
So Joe, is the team selected now? Are they selected and announced?
Yeah, so I've got 7 girls that are currently selected and everything. So that's great. And I'm still open. We've got the cutoff for the first payment is September. Unfortunately, we didn't get any girls at this last trials, which was a bit of a shame. But we've got 7 girls returning from Rome. So it just shows like their experience was great and they want to do another tournament. But I'm still open if anyone wants to get in touch and have got sponsors behind them. You know, we've still got time to if there's spots available, you know, to be part of the team, you know, they can just get in touch because it's easy for me to watch footage and things like that. And I can set it and speak to their coaches. So, yeah, we've got 7 girls at the minute, but that again just depend on the funding, but hopefully all 7 I'll get them all there.
Yeah. And for the girls, is it from strawweight to featherweight or are there any other weight classes?
So we've got 3 juniors. We have got Shannon, who is strawweight. We've got Millie. She was bantamweight last time. So Shannon won silver in Rome. We've got Millie, who is bantamweight, and she's the junior European champion, but she's going to drop to flyweight this time because she was very light at bantamweight, but still got the gold. We've got Izzy. She's also the lightweight junior champion, European champion. So she's going for gold at the Worlds again. So that's great. So we've got 3 returning juniors. Then I've got my seniors. So we've got Marie Spencer returning, becoming a bit of a veteran. This will be her 3rd IMAF. She's at strawweight. Lexi, who's dropping down to flyweight, which I think, even though she put on an outstanding performance at bantamweight, I think she'll be more comfortable at flyweight. At bantamweight, we've got Megan. So she won the junior world championships last year in Bahrain. So she's coming back as a senior. So that'll be a good test for her. And obviously, she showed what she could do in Rome by getting the silver. And then Melissa at featherweight. So we have only got 1 girl per category at the minute, so there is the 2nd seed spot available.
Wow. And Lexi, is that Lexi Rook who's competing at Awesome? So she'll be at Cage Warriors Academy Southeast, I believe, in October as well.
Yeah, she's got the flyweight belt at the Cage Warriors. She's got a fight coming up in September, and so has Melissa. I think that's the only matchups that I've seen for the girls so far. I don't think any of the other ones are fighting prior. I think they're looking, but I think I don't think any of the other girls are fighting prior to the championships.
Awesome. And girls, I don't know if you know, but we've got competition because Jo is also a podcaster now. She's got her own podcast. She's a fighter.
I listened to one of her podcasts today, actually.
Oh, did you? Thank you.
What did you think, Becky?
It was a bit of an idea to just think, you know what? I love women's MMA, and just to talk about it. So it started off like just me and my husband, and then hopefully we can get some guests on as well. So and just talking about all things fighting and just people experience same as you guys.
I listened to the Shevchenko versus Carmouche podcast, and at the beginning you thanked all the new females, it said about the new females coming into it, and Kennedy Freeman and Who else did you mention?
Jackson, because she got re-signed by Bellator.
That's right.
And then Kennedy and got a contract, yeah.
Yeah, you said you're saying welcome to everybody, and it flowed lovely between you and your husband. It was just like it was a really nice, natural, professional flow to it. I really enjoyed listening to it. It was one of those podcasts you couldn't stop listening to, you know.
That's really very kind. Thank you very much. Hopefully, we'll just get better because it's quite nerve-wracking at first because I'm used to doing this and being interviewed and when you talk, you know, I can answer questions and then I think, oh, I've got to ask people questions and, you know, I'm really interested and I don't want to lose myself in like holding the conversation because I'm just like gazing at them, listening to what they're saying. So it's definitely, there's definitely a knack to it.
Let me know when you find it.
Oh, stop, Katie. You know what? A lot of the big part is just listening. So, you know, you just sit there and smile and nod away and actually listen. And then, you know, my thing is, like, I don't really like to, I'll, like, look people up and have my little outlet, but I don't like to have one on me. So I just remember, all right, I got the questions I got. So while they're talking, I kind of remember little things that somebody will say, oh, wait, what, you know, how did you like that? What do you, so it's just really listening is a big, just such a big part of it. Mm. And so many people don't, they just talk. Crazy.
Yeah.
No, you're good.
You're great.
Kerry's got her own podcast as well in the Girls Call now, which is amazing. Everyone give that a follow as well.
Thank you.
Yeah, definitely.
Celebrating the ladies.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's what this show was invented for, right?
Yeah.
I have to say, when I did the podcast with MMA and Beyond with Ray Longo and Steve Maraboli, it was and John Beneducci. It was really, really, they had a nice little setup. And it was, you know, because they have a ton of sponsors and stuff. So they were like, it was just, everything was just really regimented, which was cool. But I'm so used to just like, whatever, go for it.
Yeah, definitely.
But it's fine. It's easier in the same room, I think, just to like, when there's no delay. The worst talking over people, which is like the thing I'm absolutely worst at. But my worst one was... We were doing an MMA UK late show and there was like a big delay. Something was wrong with my Wi-Fi, but I was supposed to be hosting and I kept thinking that there was this big pause that nobody was speaking in. And so I was like trying to go, anyway, okay, let's move on. And Scott Malone was talking about something like super serious, like mental health issues and how men find it really hard to speak about these things. And I'm going, anyway, let's move on.
Keep it moving. I love it.
It was shameful listening to that back.
That's the best thing ever.
It's funny because it's hard, isn't it? Because even with this, there's only a slight delay and I'm like, oh, I feel like I'm interrupting, but I'm stopping and starting. And it's, it can be awkward, but... Oh, well, we're all women. We all talk over each other anyway, so...
Yes, we do! That's kind of our thing.
So, Jo, how do you find the time to fit in your own training around the podcast, around the coaching, around people like us asking you to come on and do an interview? Because you got your purple belt, I think, shortly after you won the Cage Warriors belt, didn't you?
Just before, actually, so... the start of the year, obviously at Christmas, I ate a few too many, you know, stuffing and various other things and chocolate and put on a bit of weight. So I was like, right, January, I need to really kickstart. And my goal was to get in the gi more, because I think sometimes when I'm in fight camps, I do neglect the gi and it's made a massive difference, you know, with grips and things like that. So it's really transferred well into my MMA. So I just focused on doing as much grappling as possible. I didn't have any fights lined up. So I was just doing as many grappling classes as possible, gi and no gi. And then I was, I'd seen Cleos down south. And I thought it's a really good grappling. I think it's Daniel Strauss who runs it. Yeah. So it was a great competition. And I just like it. It just looks cool. Like all, even like the artwork that they do for the events, I thought it was really cool. Like, right, I'm going to sign up. Unfortunately, there weren't many females. So I think I got merged into a category. So I went down there and I think I took bronze there. I think I got two wins and then one loss and took the bronze. And yeah, off the back of that, I got awarded my purple belt. Oh, but actually, wow. At the competition is when Jack Mason was messaging James about stepping in for Molly Lindsay because she had to pull out. So yeah, so it all seemed to fall in place.
Oh, that's amazing. So have you got any fights lined up for after the IMAF tournament? Will it be after IMAF now?
Not at the minute. At the moment, I'm just training. I've had to rest my body a little bit after that fight. Not from any injuries from the fight, but I've taken niggles, you know, over the years. You know, I've fought 13 times in 3 years. So my body was at a point where, like, if I did something, I felt like I was going to do something serious, and that's what I wanted to prevent. So I pulled back on the training a little bit, which gave me the opportunity to focus on the women's team. So I've got going away to Vegas in September, and that is a holiday. And then I come back, and then I'm going to go to LA for a month and do some training. So I'm really excited for that because I've never had that sort of long period off work where I can just actually sleep, which would be nice. Not training on night shifts is like a must. I'm like, can't wait for that. So I get to train for a month and just be a little bit more normal and I can throw myself into training a little bit more. And then I come back and we go to Bahrain. So unless I can get matched in December, then there won't be anything, but I do want to do a few grappling comps. If I can get some in while I'm in America, that'd be great. But also I'm going to look to do some when I get back as well.
That's amazing. And where will you be training when you're in LA?
I've been looking at, because I'm in like the Santa Monica area, so I've been looking at Dynamics MMA. So I'm excited to train with them. I think there's that many gyms now, but where it'll be close by. So I've looked at the instructors, and they've got some great instructors there. So I'm really excited to just get out there and just meet some new people as well. And I think it's always good for freshening up, and it shows where you might be needing to work on and stuff that I can bring back home as well.
I think you get used to the same training partners. Like even when they're better than you, you kind of get used to the tricks that they normally use. And it's more representative of like a competition or a tournament, definitely, or something, to go in kind of blind with new training partners. It's just always a good thing.
Yeah, and I think I am like, I will be nervous to go, you know, but I think it is all about pushing yourself out of the comfort zone. Yeah. You know, that's how you get better. And hopefully I can bring something, you know. They might have some girls that, you know, there that I can hopefully push them as well. So, and it's all about connections, you know. If I'm over in America again, hopefully I can then, you know, work with them in the future as well. So I think it's all about, you know, meeting people and making that connection. And yeah, it'll be strange going on my own as well, because I am being one away from work and then a one away from James, so it'll be strange to be out there traveling on my own.
So Vegas, doing any training in Vegas?
Probably not. I'm going with my sister who doesn't train, so right. I think we're just gonna have a bit of a wild one. I might go training, but I doubt it. You'll find me somewhere with my Fat Tuesday slusher.
I was going to say, Cora McKenna goes over there quite a lot, doesn't she, to train? She's over school, I think. And it definitely serves the purpose for Corey, you know? So I think, and a lot of other people are branching out now and making that big leap over to America to do some training for a couple of weeks or a month. And I think it makes a hell of a difference, you know, for the fighter, you know.
Well, that's it. And I think as well, like, again, try to promote it for these young amateur females. You can do it. You can do it. You know, if you really want to do it, you can do it at amateur level. You know, you don't have to wait till pro and be able to go to these big gyms. They are, you know, a lot of them have amateur programs as well. And, they've been great with me. They've said that I can, you know, go to most classes. So once I gave my record and things like that, so they've been really welcoming, and people do want that, you know. Like I say, I might hopefully help their fighters. You know, there might be some girls on the mat that are struggling for female partners.
Exactly. So, I mean, you'd be helping each other, really.
Yeah, it'd be great. I can't wait. I'm really excited.
Well, think how much you'd welcome someone who, you know, dropped you an email and said they were coming over from the States, and yeah. Would you mind if they, like, trained with you guys for a month?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I you know, I'd be quite open to it. It's been great, like, training with the girls from the IMAF team. Again, me and Marie have trained together from day one. So, like you say, you get used to different games, but we also with different weight classes. You know, I am bigger, so I'm cautious of that. So then work with, well, just other girls on the scene and the IMAF girls. It's been great for, you know, for us all to develop together.
Do you know Dynamics, Kerry? Is there anywhere else in LA you'd recommend?
I'm going to ask my friend Kayla over there, because she's trained at, and I think she lives in LA. Dynamic, I don't know. Where does Alima Light coach out of? She's over there in California somewhere. I'm going to look up for you, because I know I have a couple friends that do reporting over there, and they all, you know, train and stuff. So I'll look up some gyms.
Oh, that would be great. Thank you. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. Are you going to Vegas?
Going to Vegas in September for a week, yeah.
Vegas is awesome. It's one of my favorite.
I love
places.
Vegas.
Yeah, it's a good time. Vegas, you can't not have a good... I don't even drink and I have a great time there. Like, you can't not...
It's amazing. Love it.
You make it to New York, come and see me. No.
Can't work.
Well... I think it's incredible, all the plates that you keep spinning in the air at one time. It's, you know,
I think Jo is if she's not already a pioneer now for the ladies, because she's done so much in all different parts of MMA that I think we can actually call Jo a pioneer. She's doing things for the amateurs that other people aren't doing, and she's like, she's really, you know, putting herself out there and helping everyone else. So I think we should all raise a glass to Jo.
Thank you. I couldn't do it without support, so I appreciate you having me on and letting me talk and you know, ask for sponsors and things like that, because I really appreciate it. You know, like I'm only doing it because I want these girls there. I want these girls to get. Yeah. To get these great fights, and that's why I'm doing it, and, you know, sacrificing my fight camps and stuff like that. But I think it's important that we need to do this, and having you guys there supporting and reporting about these girls, you know, that's fantastic as well. It makes my job a little bit easier as well. Thank you.
And there's still spaces in every weight class for girls that want to apply. Yep. They can contact you on social media.
Yeah, contact me on social media, and then I'll pass the details on to Mark Spencer, who's kind of running the team and taking the team out to Bahrain. Any questions or anything about the competition as well, you know, there is going to be a criteria coming in for the team, but I think we can be a little bit more flexible, because if girls can't get fights, how can we expect them to have 4, 5, 6 fights on their record? You know, yeah. That's what we're trying to promote. So, you know, a good example, Melissa Mullins went out with a 1-2 record and came away with a silver medal, and her record's now 4-3, you know, and she had fantastic fights, knocked the first 3 girls out. Brilliant fight. So, yeah, it just shows, you know, that it can be done. So anyone who was doubting their record or anything like that, you know, just get in touch. You know, I'm willing to speak to anyone and help anyone, even if they don't want to do the IMAFs. Because I do follow it, so I do look, you know, even if there's a show down in Bournemouth, I'll have a look. Oh, have they got any women that they're asking for? Because I might know someone who's looking for a fight in that area or willing to travel, you know. So, yeah, anyone get in touch, that's fine.
Well, I think when we set up the girl show, you were exactly the type of person that we wanted to promote, and exactly the reason we wanted to start doing it. So, it's been absolutely fabulous having you on.
Thank you.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Is there anything else that you wanted to say, Jo, before we let you go?
Yeah, I just thank you, like, for the support from you guys, and keep doing what you're doing, because you're doing a brilliant job yourself. Thank you for that. Again, I know I'm going on about it, but yeah, if there's any businesses out there that want to support this female team, Even if it's not monetary, you know, like any kit or something, we can all promote that on our social media, and you know, we're willing to help you just as much if you give us that opportunity to get out there and fight. And yeah, let's support these girls. You know, these girls are working hard. They're in the gym and they're doing a sport that in some places is still predominantly male. So let's get behind them. And looking at the tally from the Europeans, we were the most successful team. Team England brought home the most medals. So again, we are, you know, I'm going there to be the number one female team. That there's no doubt about it. With seven girls, I think we've got seven medals. So yeah, coming back as
expectations are high. final thoughts from you, Kerry.
I just wanted to wish you good luck and the ladies good luck. And seriously, if you need any tips with the sponsoring thing, contact me. And yeah, man, this is going to be awesome. I'm excited for you guys.
Oh, thank you so much.
And Becky?
Well, I just want to say thank you to Jo for doing what she's doing for the females. And, you know, I used to write about, you know, the females quite a few years ago. And then obviously I have to stop for medical reasons, but I will be back again. But I want to say thank you for doing what she's doing. And I will try my best to help you in any way, shape or form that I can help. And just let me know if there's a way I can help, and I'll just help you. And we'll share the Facebook posts, if you make any Facebook posts about, we will share them and try and get it. I know how hard it is. The Lioness Cut team have been trying to get sponsors for ages, and like, nobody comes forward. So I know how hard it is to get sponsors, especially for females. So we're going to try our best now to get you your sponsors for your girls, and you know, and push.
Our own worst enemy with it, because I think sometimes I think we have a habit of going, oh well, yeah, we could do a bit better at that, and we doubt ourselves, and we shouldn't be like that. And that is something that we do as females, and we need to be out there. And like, you know, these lads are getting sponsored, and they might not be as good as these female athletes or as good record, but they're getting sponsorship because they know how to promote themselves, and there's no doubt there.
Yeah.
And we're guilty of it as women. We are guilty. And so that's why I want to be at the forefront, not to take away from these athletes, but to say, no, we are a force to be reckoned with, and I'm going to back these girls regardless of whatever happens. So, yeah, so that's what my aim is to do. We need to be more confident in each other and support each other, and then we'll get someone.
Yeah. I'm really glad that they've got you beating the drum for them.
Yeah, keeping me in shape.
Well, we will like and share everything that you post about it, and anybody watching this, please like and share, and if you know a local business, tag them and get them to get in contact with Jo, because we just really want this team to be as successful as possible. And we certainly don't want a small thing like not being able to afford to go to stop us from having the best athletes we possibly could there.
Exactly.
Well, thanks so much. I know you just rushed from training as well. I know.
My hair looks terrible.
Oh, your hair is actually really nice color too. I love it. I was looking at like, great hair.
thank you ladies for another fabulous show.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.